Robert says, come on, Gary, mention Bruce Benedict. Okay, I will mention Bruce Benedict, former catcher of the Atlanta Braves, former Maverick. Now, why I don't mention him, I'm going to just show my bias right here. So before I moved back here, I was the radio play-by-play guy for Florida Gulf Coast University. Yes, I was there for Dunk City. Bruce Benedict was an Atlantic Sun official. The first time I found out that he was doing a game, he was at Alico Arena in Fort Myers. And so I went in and I introduced myself and I said, I went to Nebraska. I know the story. Great. You know, I kind of wanted to talk about the old school Braves, maybe get some stories. And he was really, really cool. Worked a couple of our games and then blew a big call in an important game. And so he's dead to me. Dead to me. I don't know if he is officiating basketball anymore because I think he did do some NCAA games. Yeah, he blew one call. We were done. We after that, I didn't allow him to fist pound me before games when he'd walk down the scores table. He'd try and make eye contact. Nope. That was not a travel on Sherwood Brown. I'm just telling you, it was not, Bruce, if you're listening.
Travel?
Brian, who is a big Braves fan, no sage burning, but I am wearing a new T-shirt I got right before the playoffs started that the Braves have won every time I have worn it. Now, the question is, has Brian washed it?
You don't want to wash the mojo off.
So I may not wash this thing for the next week. Mm-hmm. I love the old crew, TBS gang. Chip, Pete, and Don were great. Rest in peace, Don Sutton, as well.
Yes.
I will say one last thing. I have been comparing this team to the 90s Braves team, and honestly, I feel outside of the starting pitching, the core of this team, 1-8, is heads above the 90s core with the possible exception of Chipper over Riley. If Smoltz, Tom, and Greg had this 1-8 hitting for them, they would have won a lot more titles in the 90s.
I would agree with that.
I'm told I'm horrific by a Mets fan.
Little pot kettle there from a Mets fan.
Amazing Mets says, two of my sons are the same. So those are his two best kids that are Cubs fans. He said his youngest is his favorite, probably because he's a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doesn't. I don't know that I mean, I think you're kind of conflicted. You either growing up, you went against your parents who they rooted for. I'm sure there's a lot of people around here that didn't want to be Nebraska fans because mm-hmm. they grew up and it was all Nebraska. You kind of see that now where it's all Nebraska. Everybody talks about Nebraska. I'm going to be something different. I'm going to root for Iowa. I'm going to root for Oregon. I'm going to root for Oklahoma. But then there are times when I was growing up that I was told who I could not root for. I could never be a Dolphins, Raiders, or Notre Dame fan.
Dolphins, Raiders, or Notre Dame. Notre Dame makes sense. Raiders, I mean, you just don't want to put that on somebody.
Because essentially, Dolphins. During my parents' adulthood, before they had me, those were the teams that were the best back in the 70s.
The Shula.
And then I come along and they're like, you know, when I'm old enough to know what sports is and to get all excited, they're like, you cannot root for these teams. You can't root for the Cowboys either.
Yeah.
Now, I could root for the Steelers. I don't know why they were not involved. But
sort of the dynasty teams.
Yes.
You get tired of them. They become the villain, like the Patriots of today.
Speaking of the Steelers, we have these debates all the time in college athletics of what is the best job. We don't really ever have the debates in professional sports about what is the best job out there. The best job is when you have great ownership. The worst job in professional sports is when you have weak ownership. Yesterday, Carson Palmer, who is connected at USC, and when he speaks and what he said yesterday, I believe to be the truth, even though these names being thrown around at USC, which included Jeff Fisher for about 15 minutes yesterday, I almost feel like they're a diversion. That USC is floating names, but privately, they are going after somebody else. But when Carson Palmer, who is involved, speaks, and he mentions Mike Tomlin, you go, huh? Now, Mike Tomlin may have the best job in the NFL. He works for an organization that has had, what, three head coaches in 54 years? Has got fantastic ownership? Might be one of the best jobs in all of sports is to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. New England is that way. I mean, Belichick has got one of the best jobs. Pete Carroll, even when he's spitting his gum out on the turf, and they're 2-5 and they're five games behind Arizona, he's still got one of the best jobs because they've got a good ownership group. I think any strong ownership group, that's a great professional job. Weak ownership group, not a chance. But Mike Tomlin has what I think is the best job in the NFL. And why would you want to leave? Well, his name got attached to USC, and people kind of lost their mind yesterday because they were asking the same question that all of us were. Why would Mike Tomlin leave Pittsburgh to go to USC? Now, before I brushed it aside, I thought, is USC better than a couple of NFL jobs? Not better than the Steelers job, but is USC football, being the head coach at USC, better than maybe four, five, six NFL jobs?
Yes. Certainly better than the Jaguars job.
Try telling that to Urban Meyer. They have big expectations now. Is it better than the Arizona Cardinal job? Is it better than the Carolina Panthers, who appear now with Dave Tepper to have strong ownership?
Seems good.
Not the Dave Tepper, formerly of 1620 The Zone.
Seems like they'll go get someone if it's not working quite right, willing to do that.
So with all the rumors out there for USC, James Franklin's going to have to answer again today. And I think he may already have done because I see in my timeline he's talking about Sean Clifford. Mike Tomlin had his media availability today. You know, Mike Tomlin can be a little surly at times. I find him engaging. I find it odd when he doesn't wear a hat and you realize that he's bald. Because it's maybe once or twice I've ever seen Mike Tomlin without a hat. But he's one of the best football coaches, regardless of level. And he's got the best job in football. How about this denial today? So he's asked about his name being attached to the USC job. Quote, I don't have time for that speculation. That's a joke to me. I have one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. Why would I have any interest in coaching college football? Never say never, but never. There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. If you were half in and half out in Steeler Nation on him, you love yourself some Mike Tomlin. That is a pretty strong denial. I think we can take Mike Tomlin off the list of the next USC football coach.
That's a very strong denial. That's not Nick Saban. No, I like it here in Miami. I don't think I'd go to Alabama. I don't think I would go. And then the next day, you got a bunch of boxes there, Nick. Where are you going?
There's not a booster with a big enough blank check. I imagine he's compensated quite well in Pittsburgh. He gets all the Yingling that he wants, all the icy light he would like. But it's becoming silly season. Texas Tech firing Matt Wells yesterday. USC is open. LSU is open. There will be position coach changes across college football. Wisconsin may be changing, what's this, an offensive line coach? Finding out what's wrong with their special teams. We've tongue-in-cheek said, man, is Wisconsin going to win the West again? They're running the football. They still stop the run. They've got a ferocious defense. They play Iowa this weekend. They still have Minnesota to play. So Wisconsin, if they figure things out, could be in the right spot. If they can also figure out a constipated offense that looks nothing like any Wisconsin offense that we've seen in the past that has men in motion and all kinds of window dressing, and then they just blow you up with a handoff right up the middle. Here is a stat that will blow your mind about Wisconsin football. Tom Fornelli tweeted this out earlier today. Wisconsin has allowed 129 points this year. 65 of those points that they've allowed have come off turnovers by the offense that have led to points. 50% of the points scored against Wisconsin have been the result of a turnover by your own offense. And Paul Chryst does what? Graham Mertz, you're only going to throw the ball 8 times against Purdue. And Purdue ran for minus 13 yards against Wisconsin. They may be on to something. That's a huge game coming up this weekend. But it's a game between two teams that are in the West, not in the sexy East. We're going to get ignored here in the West. That's fine. People don't pay attention to the West Division unless you're inside of the West Division. And you wonder, could the Big Ten West ever get what the Big Ten East is about to go through? Big Ten East has 4 teams, 6 games, 4 Saturdays to decide who is the best of the East. There's more storylines on the East. They get a lot of the attention. And the reason why they get a lot of the attention is there's some blue bloods that are involved, Michigan, Ohio State. The West doesn't have Ohio State. If the West had just one team and it was the best in the Big Ten, the West would get a lot of attention. But the East has Ohio State. They get the attention, and they've got 2 unbeatens with them. And then there is always Penn State. Problem with the West in terms of getting attention is Wisconsin, which has been atop the West, they essentially have turned themselves into a service academy in the way they approach offense. Never say never, Mike Tomlin. But can the Big Ten West ever get what the Big Ten East is currently going through? Will they ever get that moment? I don't think so. I think teams in the Big Ten West get ignored. You're not sexy. You're boring. You run the ball. You play time of possession. You stop the run. You're Wisconsin. You're Iowa. You're Minnesota. Good for the Big Ten, but until you get a Ohio State-ish type team in the West, even if they're just 1 and the other 6, not going to get the attention that the East is getting. Because if that happened to the West, you'd say, well, it's kind of fluky, you know, Purdue, Nebraska. Now, if it's Nebraska, that's a storyline. That's a name that would bring attention. But if it's anybody outside of really Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, you're not going to get that attention that the Big Ten East division is getting right now. And as long as Ohio State is still in the East, they're going to get attention nonstop. And all of a sudden, you're going to convince yourself that because Rutgers plays in the East Division, that Rutgers must be a pretty good team as well. All right, 11:46 coming up in just a little bit. Mike Sauter will join us. Also, Andy Kendi will stop by. Tom Chattel. We'll slip in some nuggets from Lincoln, some great news on Ramir Johnson ahead of the 2:30 kick on Saturday against Purdue. Plus, we'll circle back the speculation about Mike Tomlin to USC, which not happening. James Franklin to USC. What does it say about the Big Ten that they could lose 2 coaches to USC and LSU? Does it say anything, or does it just say they're better jobs? Maybe Mel Tucker to LSU and James Franklin to USC? Or does it say more when Tom Allen becomes a candidate for the Miami job? We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this in 1620 The Zone.